Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the music this morning. As always, just the Lord works through the music ministry of the church. I know I've already been blessed. I trust that you have as well. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, go ahead and look with me to the book of Acts. The book of Acts in chapter 27. I believe this is where the Lord would have us to be this morning. This is a very important event in the life of the Apostle Paul. As he is, it's been recorded for us to learn from as Paul is traveling to Rome as a prisoner of Rome. He's headed there to accomplish what God had him here to accomplish, and he was to be a witness to those in Rome. And so Acts chapter 27, and we're going to be starting to read in verse 31, so if you would stand with me, if you're able to do so, we'll read down to the end of the chapter here. Acts chapter 27, verse 31. And Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, "This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you." And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were in all in the ship 260 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. When it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves into the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoist up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground. And the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and to get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. And let's pray. Father, as we bow before you again, we thank you, Lord, for this privilege it is and the opportunity, the health that all of us that are here have to be here. Thank you for what we've already received and just being in church and Sunday school and also in our morning worship service, the ministry of music, and just being in this place, sensing your presence, already been such a blessing. But now as we've read this passage of Scripture, as we study this event that you've recorded for us concerning the life of the Apostle Paul, pray, God, that we would be able to learn from it and be blessed by it. You only know just how each one of us need to apply this, and I pray that we would be looking, Lord, and open to whatever you would say to us. I ask, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Paul was a prisoner of Rome. Of course, as you know, the story of the Apostle Paul, he had appealed unto Caesar, and when they did that, because he had dual citizenship, he was a Roman, and then he was and a Gentile, but he was allowed to go and to present his case before Caesar. And so God had him to go, and this was God's will all along, that he would be able to present Christ in Rome to all the governors and all those that he would have an opportunity to reach in Rome. But he had to go there as a prisoner of Rome. As he went as a prisoner of Rome, we find often Paul would refer to himself as a prisoner of Jesus Christ. If you study the writings of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians in chapter 3 and verse 1, as well in Philemon verse 1 and verse 23, and other places, he reveals himself, presents himself as a volunteer, if you will, prisoner of Christ, which is also a servant. He referred to himself as a soldier. He referred to himself as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And so that's why he's going. Not because he desired a vacation in Rome, but he desired to accomplish what God had for him to accomplish while he had life. He would write in the Philippians, and he would tell them, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And so I'm going to accomplish all that I can in this life, and then when my life on this earth is over, it's a gain for me. I'm looking forward to eternity in heaven." That's what Paul's mind said. And so here we find in Acts chapter 27, Paul knew that he would be going to Rome, but he was warned about the trip to Rome on this particular vessel, and he tried to influence them not to sail when they had determined to sail. Now, Paul was establishing a testimony with this Roman centurion who was given the task of getting Paul to Rome. And he's a centurion, meaning he had 100 men underneath him. And so Paul was wanting to establish a testimony because he would realize and understood how important his testimony would be in this life. And I think that's important for us to learn right there. Every Christian ought to be looking to establish a testimony, especially to those in whom you might have to answer to whom might have a part in your opportunities to do what God would have you to do. Maybe that's at work, or maybe that's at school, or whatever it might be. But establishing a testimony amongst others is very important, that they understand who you are. I am a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am, if you will, as Paul says, I'm a prisoner. That means I am not going to leave this. I have given myself to represent Christ and to serve him as this soldier, as a servant, as an ambassador. That's what Paul would present. Well, verse 9 in this chapter, in chapter 27, we find Paul knew that they should not set sail. And so we find here the Bible says, "And when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonishes them." And this is the captain of the ship and also this Roman centurion, which is over the soldiers and that's over Paul and getting Paul to Rome. He said to them, "Sir, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, and not only of the lading of the ship, but also our lives. You'll put our lives in danger if you make this voyage at this time. Nevertheless," the Bible said, "the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul." He had more confidence in what the sailors would say, and the one who captained the ship and owned the ship, he believed he would have more understanding of the seas than Paul, which he might have had more understandings of the sea, but he didn't have the insight that Paul had. Paul trying to establish a testimony at this time, then the centurion believed the captain of the ship more than Paul. So Paul was still needing to work on his testimony. Well, as soon as they took off, they ran into this huge storm. The Bible called it Euroclydon. That just sounds like a huge storm, one that I want to stay away from. But we find here that that's what happened to them. And just as Paul had mentioned to them, the storm was destroying the ship, and it was been tossed back and forth, and it was coming apart to the place in verse 20, the Bible says, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, look what it says here, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. No doubt the centurion at that point was thinking, I should have listened to Paul. But Paul, all of those on the ship, except for Paul, had given up on being saved. I mean, now put yourself in this position. All hope that you were going to live was gone. Whatever you're battling, whatever the storm might be, there was no hope of you getting out of that storm. Everyone on this ship was facing this storm of life, and they had no way of seeing beyond the storm. They had no hope that they would have life beyond what they were going through. Wow. You ever been in such a dark place? If you haven't been in such a dark place, can I tell you, more than likely, all of us will be. All hope that they would be saved was taken away, which allowed Paul to establish even a greater testimony for Christ. Paul testifies what God had revealed to him in verse 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them, knowing that everyone had already given up any chance of survival. Everyone on the ship, no one else was there that had any hope but Paul. Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, not because of who Paul was, but because of who Paul's God was. And not to have loosed from Crete and to have gained the harm, this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Now this is what Paul is preaching to all of those on the ship. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Wow. Well, that leads us up to our text. That's what's happening when we start reading here in verse 31 as we read our text. Verse 31 down to the end of the chapter here, our text. So the message I want to preach to you this morning is the response of the sailors and soldiers and Christ's servant in the storms of life. The response, how would we respond in such a storm? How are we to respond when you don't think there's going to be a tomorrow? You can't see the light at the end of the darkness. There's no hope. The first testimony that the Bible gives to us concerning this, they were all there. The only one that did not give up on life was the Apostle Paul. But they would respond differently. First of all, the sailors. Look at verse 27. Now, Paul had given them the hope. Paul had already preached to them what God said, but they didn't know whether to believe it or not. But when the 14th night was come, 14 nights after what Paul had presented to them, as we were driven up and down in Adria about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country. The shipmen would be the sailors. and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. That means that they're getting closer to some kind of land, some kind of shore. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast forth anchors out of the stern and wished for the day, slowing it down during the nighttime. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat, the lifeboats, that's what I was talking about here, into the sea, under color, or if you will, in pretense, they didn't want anybody to know what they were doing here, under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship. So these would be the worldly sailors. They would have had skills to save themselves at this time because they knew that they have the lifeboats. But they also realized there was not enough lifeboats to save everybody. But they understood they were getting close to shore. There was more than likely they was going to run into rocks and the ship would be destroyed and possibly everyone on board would be killed once again. But they knew that, and they knew that they could escape and save their own lives. And that's what they were going to do. The natural response of humanity is self-preservation. That's just the natural. That's part of our sin nature. It's about me, because it's all about, the devil thought it was all about him. And we have been given the sin nature. We have taken on ourselves the sin nature of the devil. So it's within all of us. We're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. For the wage of sin is death. But we have the sin nature. And we talked about this morning, the message and song was paid in full. We need to have it paid in full. We have a sin nature that we cannot pay for. We have a debt. But Jesus came to pay that debt. But without Christ, we will respond according to our nature. And the natural response is self-preservation. Ephesians in chapter 2, the Bible reveals to us about the sin nature, and it says some things a couple of different places. But I love what we find here in Ephesians in chapter 2 concerning the sin nature that Paul wrote to those in Ephesus. They're saved now, but he says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." That was the debt of the sin nature. Wherein in times past, before you got saved, before you got a new nature, you walked according to the course of this world. This world is focused on the natural. Worldly philosophies will be focused on the natural, the nature of mankind. They're not looking to spiritual truths. They're not looking to God for insight. But we find that the ways of the world, according to the Bible, what it reveals to us is that of humanity, that of the philosophies of man. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's the devil and all his influences, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The children of disobedience are the children that are the those that are lost, or even those that are saved that are living like the lost. Among whom also we all had our conversations in times past, in the lust of our flesh. This is the natural, the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. You don't look to God and realize there's a better way to live life, then we're going to live life based upon our flesh, based upon our desires of the flesh, which is based upon the natural. Totally different way of living life. Totally different way of looking at life. Among whom also we all had our conversations in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, that's the natural, that's how you were born with this nature, this natural, the children of wrath, even as others. Most everyone here would have experienced life in the world to some extent. No doubt some have given a lot of their life over to the lust of the flesh. Most everyone that gives themselves over to the lust of the flesh at some point will look around and say, is this all there is about life? Because sin can be pleasurable, but only for a season. You might enjoy some of the pleasures of sin, but when you try to make a lifestyle out of it, you're going to find yourself at some point saying, is this all life is about? Is this living to get high? Living to meet a desire of the flesh, which is many desires of the flesh. All of it leads to sin, and all of it leads to self-preservation. What do I want? What's best for me? Don't worry about who else is involved in your sin or who you're getting involved in your sin or anything else that's going on. No, what is best for me? I want what I want. And you give yourself to that sin nature. And you block God out of your mind by thinking, no, there's no way there could be a God. There's no way the Bible could be accurate. So what can I get out of life? What do I want? Wow. That's the sailors. They were ready to save themselves and didn't care about Paul, didn't care about any of the other souls on that ship, didn't care about the soldiers. That was their mentality, self-preservation. That's not the answer. That's not the solution. But so many go in that direction. Yeah. And then we find the response of the soldiers. The response of the soldiers. Go back there with me to Acts chapter 27. Soldiers are those who have been trained in how to respond. Trained in how to respond in war, in very difficult situations. They go through a training so that when it takes place and they find themselves in battle and they find themselves in certain whatever the circumstances, situations, the training kicks in. I remember right after Desert Storm, we had a couple of our men in Desert Storm and they'd come back, and Joe Smith, we all was going down and we was fishing at a men's retreat, and Joe was fresh back from Desert Storm, and was all out there, and lightning hit a tree, right? I mean, probably 50 feet from us. And when that lightning hit the tree, everyone else just go, wow. Joe dove like he was diving into a bunker. It was just instinct. And everybody looked at him and think, it's training. just back from Desert City, he said, that I was trained. Anytime you hear noise, anytime you hear an explosion, you got to dive. You got to jump into the closest bunker that you can find. And we all thought it a little bit funny and kind of ribbed him about it. But the truth of it was, he just acted according to how he had been programmed and what he was trained to do. Soldiers are those who have been trained in how to respond. The Bible tells us in verse 31 and verse 32, now Paul knew what was taking place with the sailors, and Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. The soldiers were just acting upon the commandments of the centurion who believed Paul now and said, no, we can't allow this. And so the soldiers obeyed the commandments and they cut loose the only thing that quite naturally was there to save a few of them. There was enough lifeboats for the sailors thinking they could save themselves. The soldiers didn't think about saving themselves. They just were there to follow orders. And they didn't think about going down there and jumping in the boat and saving themselves. No, they listened to the orders of the centurion who listened to Paul, and they went down and just obeyed the orders, and they cut loose the life rafts, which you would think, well, at least some of them could have been saved. They had no thought. They were just doing what they were trained to do. They were obeying orders. And we find another part here in verse 42. Once they had found that they were going to have to jump in and swim to shore, the soldiers had been trained not to let the prisoners flee, because if they would have to report back and ask, why did you let these prisoners flee, they would have been given responsible for the prisoners. And so the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners that were taken back to Rome to stand trial. Kill the prisoners. No emotions to it. It was just training. It's just training. Because lest any of them should swim out and escape. That was their thinking. Training. Can't let them escape. Training helps you to know how to respond. The training of children will help them to respond accordingly. And the earlier you start training them, the earlier they'll start responding the way you want them to respond. But who's training them? This is psychology 101. I mean, it's not that deep of truth. Who's training them? God's will is for parents, Christian parents, to train your children, raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let them know that there's a God. So when there is a darkness or a storm, they'll know how to respond. What if the government's training them? Would they give them the same kind of training? I think not. Secular education is government controlled. What about religion? Different religions will train differently. They'll focus on your works. They'll focus on what you can do. They'll focus on the authority being a church, a building, a man. But religion is training a lot of minds today. And some religions are way, way off the truth. That's why we have a lot of the mentality of humanity and hatred for certain types of people and certain types of things and on and on and on and on. They're just going to respond as they were trained. Some are trained by the streets. We pick up children, the inner city children, that they got to know how to get by on the streets. You do certain things, street justice. You got gangs. You got this and that, got that. You got parents that are too involved in drugs and alcohol and sex to care about the children, and so they're not doing anything. And so the children are just learning and being trained on how to be street smart. Just exist, survive. Who's doing the training? Can I tell you, this church, we'll do everything we can to influence and train all for Christ. Because I know this Bible to be true. I know that Jesus Christ is to be truly Lord of lords and King of kings. He is the only hope of humanity. He's the only Savior of the world. Jesus Christ, He is the one that people need to be aware of. And this is a church that wants to preach and to teach Christ. We want to help parents. We want to help equip parents to know how to be the authority that God has given to them in raising their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They need that help to be able to train their children. And so we want to do our part by helping anyone and everyone who comes through the doors of this church to be influenced for Christ. That's why we're always going to preach the Bible. Now everyone here has different thoughts and different philosophies of life and different preferences. Not going there. I'm going to preach Christ. I'm going to encourage you to bring your Bible so that you can read it and you can study it. This Bible that has withstood the test of time, that Jesus said, my word shall never pass away, and we will be accountable for what the word of God says, and we'll be accountable how we use it to do the training of those that are under us. Those that can will look to us as an example and look to us as for help that they need. Because training makes a difference. Because your training will determine how you respond. And then we have the response of Christ's servant. Paul's faith kicks in when everyone else's was gone. No hope. There's not going to be a tomorrow. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. Paul stands and says, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. You know, God's promises and God's word is right here, found in this Bible right here. It's here for all of us to read, to study, to learn, and to respond accordingly. Or any one of us who knows the Bible can help somebody else by saying, I believe God and this is what the Bible says. I believe God and you can have the answer to prayer and you can have God working on your behalf and you can have a peace that passeth understanding. You can have all that God wants you to have. He's promised his presence. He will never leave us nor forsake us. You're not alone in this battle. God can be with you, whatever it might be. Paul's faith kicked in and his response to the storms was to look to God's word. Look to God's word. Trust in it. His response not only was to look to God's word, but his response also was to do what God says to do. In verse 31, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. So you have to do something about it. I can't keep the sailors from leaving, but at some point we're going to need their wisdom. We're going to need their expertise. If this boat is going to get to where it needs to be for all of us to be safe, we're going to need the expertise of the sailors. And so you can't let the sailors bail out on us. So we got to do what God told us to do. God told me to tell you, don't let them leave. Let's do our part. We can keep the sailors from leaving. We can let the lifeboats just drift away. We can cut them loose by putting our faith in what the Bible says. When you put your faith in what the Bible says, then do what the Bible says to do. Because that's part of the solution. That's part of the light at the end of the tunnel. That's part of what's going to give you the hope for tomorrow. Amen. Paul responded, his faith kicked in, told him to do what God says to do. He responded to publicly give thanks to God. I love that. Verse 35. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God. He said, this is what we got to do. We're following after God. God has given us a promise, but we got to do our part for this promise to be fulfilled. And so what we need to do is make sure that no one leaves the ship, and that was taken care of. And then he said, now what we have to do is we have to start eating. Before we eat of any provisions, let's look to God and let's give God thanks. Acknowledging there is a God and putting your faith in him, trusting in him. And giving him thanks. The Bible says when they did that, they were all of good cheer and they also took some meat. It changed their mindset. It changed their disposition when they started giving thanks to God. When's the last time you just started thinking about things that you needed to give thanks for? It's impossible to be depressed when you're giving thanks. There's something about the attitude of gratitude, amen? There's something about just looking for something. And when you start looking for something, more than likely you're going to find a lot of things. To simply acknowledge God's blessings and give thanks. Giving thanks. Paul's faith kicks in. Gets people to look to God's word. It gets people to do what God says. It gets all of them to give thanks. And lastly, he responded by keeping the faith. Even when it looked like they wanted to kill Paul. After all of this, after Paul's the one that stood and gave them hope, gave them all this, the soldiers were going to kill him. But God had already revealed to Paul, you're going to be safe. Verse 42, the soldiers said, let's kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion willing to save Paul, that's what kept him from killing all the other prisoners. It's because of Paul's testimony that he established in the very beginning. And now is going to allow him to be saved. And eventually, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped. All of them. Paul, prisoners, sailors, and the soldiers. Safe to land. All were saved because of Paul's response to the storms of life. Your storm's not just about you. It's not. How you will respond to that storm will impact other people's lives around you. It impacted all 276 souls on that ship. That's how many was on the ship. 276 souls would have perished in the middle of the storm if it had not been for the proper response of God's servant in that situation, Paul. Others will be impacted by your response to the storms that you're in. Will you respond like a sailor, lost man, self-preservation? Will you respond like a soldier who trained you? How have you been trained? If you were trained properly, then praise God for it. But if you were not, you're going to respond to however you've been trained, which I trust we'll all want to respond like Paul. How will you respond in that darkest storm of life? If I give it, have your head bowed this morning. Sailors, soldiers, and God's servant, how will you respond? Father, we bow before you now. We thank you, Lord God, for this passage in the Word of God and this little event in the life of the Apostle Paul, which is recorded for our learning so we might grow from this and be strengthened by this. And I pray, God, this morning, only you know just how you use this message to speak to all that are here and all that are under the influence of this message at home via the live stream. I just pray, God, that as we have heard it, that we would be open now to whatever application that you would give to us. I pray that you bless this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.